Good morning. Welcome to worship. We are excited that you are here this morning. Take just a moment and hug the neck, shake the hand of three people right around you. Oh, sorry. Okay, settle down. A few announcements as we get ready for worship. Reminder to all members and guests, we would like to find out who is in worship today. The way we do that are the pew pads that you'll find on the inside of every aisle, of every pew. We invite members and guests to put your name down, give us contact information, check the appropriate boxes, send it down to the end of the pew so everybody has a chance to fill that out. We do ask, once it gets to the end, if you could send it back to where it got started, that would help us. We do ask, once it gets back to that first person who filled it out this morning, if you could tear out the pages that were used. Our ushers will collect those at the end of the service. Thank you for your help with that. Reminder to our children, we are having children's time this morning. That's right after the first hymn, and we'll be meeting right down here for just a few minutes. Next week is Palm Sunday. That is the beginning of Holy Week. Our children, they're going to be helping us start the worship service, both in the 9 o'clock service as well as 11 o'clock service. So parents, and we'll be sending out information in the mail and email this week about having the kids here to wave those palm branches next Sunday morning for Palm Sunday. That opens up all of our Holy Week services, including the Maundy-Thursday service on Thursday evening of next week. This is all next week. Tenebrae service on Friday evening. And then on Saturday evening, we'll be having the Passion Rock Opera, which is the story of Christ's Passion through the music of Third Day, which is a very famous... No Passion Rock Opera. Okay. I thought it said it on the... Well, never mind. It does say that under upcoming events, but we're going to all delete that together. We're going to delete it out of our minds. Are we ready? Delete. Okay, it's out. It's gone. No Passion Rock Opera. Anyway, so you have Saturday night free. And so there's no excuse for you not to be here for Easter Sunday morning. That will be the end of our Holy Week services. Let's see. I think that's other... upcoming events, opportunities for the week. I'm guessing they're all correct. I don't know. So have fun with that. We have things listed there. A busy week, regular schedule stuff today. And I'm just going to stop making announcements. That's probably good. We want to say a special welcome to our guests this morning. You've already given us your information on the pew pad a few moments ago, and we certainly appreciate that. If you're a guest, we'd like for you to raise your hand as the ushers come down the aisles now. Just raise your hand right where you are. The ushers will recognize you, and they will give you a packet of information. Inside this packet, you'll find a letter from our pastor, as well as a newsletter that tells you what's going on in the life of our church, as well as a little bit of the history of College Park. So we're very blessed by your presence this day, and we pray that God will reveal himself in a mighty way. Because he has a tendency to do that. Even when we're not really ready for it, he has a tendency to show up. Do you need to hear a word from him today? Do you need something special from him? He has exactly what you need. And it begins at the cross. What do you need this morning? Let us prepare for worship and see what he has in store for us.
You are worthy.
pray with me? Father, this morning it is our privilege to be in this place. Sometimes we don't think about it that way. Sometimes it's just something we do because, well, that's what you do. But God, this morning, it is an honor to be in your presence. Let everything that's done in this place be done not to glorify us, but to glorify you. Hear us as we worship and sing your praises. Speak to us straight to our souls for the things that you want to do in us and through us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Hello. I invite all the kids. Come down. And Ben. Come on. I needed Ben's help this morning. Y'all come have a seat right down here. Back up a little bit for me. Back up a little bit. Dave's back up. There you go. Come right here for me. All right. Come on, Jack. All right, I've got a little problem here. How many of you like apples? You like apples? Do you like apples, Ben? Do you think you could help me out? Okay, I'm having a little. Will you get this apple out, please? What's wrong? Your hand's stuck.
My hand is stuck.
Why? What? Well, let go of the apple. Let go. Okay, let me. Hey, y'all, come on. Let me. What's wrong with? I had to. You. But. You can. Well, let me see. Let it go. I had to let it go. Well, let me ask a question. Good job, Ben. Give Ben a hand. Can y'all give Ben a hand? Oh, everybody, give him a very big round of applause. Yeah, woo. Okay, are you hogging the applause? Go sit down. All right. Now, here's the thing. Pastor Raymond, in a few minutes, he's going to talk about exactly what I just try to do. Sometimes there are things in our life that, you know, we really want to do. I'll give you an example. How many of you like, let's say, watching TV? Okay? How many of you have been told by mom or dad or your grandparents or somebody to turn the TV off and it's time to go to bed and you didn't do it? Oh, yeah. We like to watch extra TV, right? We don't want to let that TV go. We like watching whatever show is on. We want to watch it. Or it's kind of like video games, right? Right? Somebody that's like video games? Sometimes, here's a good one. How many of you have ever played with Legos and you have like the Lego Stormtrooper and your friend wants to play with it, but you want to play with it and you don't want to let, so you what? What do you do? You don't cut his head off. No, we don't share that way. No. But we have to, for our friend to play with it, we have to what? We have to let go. Just like I had to let go of the apple. Sometimes there are things that we do that we really, really want to do that are not good for us. There are sometimes that our parents want us to do things that are better for us, like going to sleep and getting our rest, but we just got to watch TV. We don't want to let that remote go. Sometimes we all do that. There are things in our lives that we don't want to let go of because it's mine. It's all about what I want. This morning, Pastor Raymond is going to talk about sometimes we have to let go the things that we want to do what God wants. Who was in worship this morning with Miss Leanne? Now, what were you talking about this morning? You're talking about Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane. Yes, and Miss Leanne said that correctly. Gethsemane. And what did he have to do? Did he want to do all that God wanted to do? No, but he prayed, God, if you could take this away from me, great. But I'm going to let go what I want and do what you want. You and I, we got to do that every day. There's things that you want to do, things that you want to say that maybe we shouldn't. Maybe we should listen to our parents. Let go of the things that we want and do what God wants. Can you help me do that this week?
Yes.
Let's pray together. God, thank you so much for this morning. Thank you for the lesson of the apple in the jar. Sometimes we have to let things go because we get stuck and we're not doing the right thing. We want to honor you by doing what you want first, not about what we want. Because it's not about us, it's about you. Help us to let things go in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, if you're good, I'll have apples at the end of the service. All right. Come see me right outside that door. You can go back to your seats now.
It is powerful to think that our kids know who Jesus is. And as we journey to the cross as part of Lent and Easter 2 weeks away, we are called to confess, to acknowledge who Jesus is, to acknowledge the gift that he gave us by confessing of our sins. Hear this call to confession from 1 John chapter 4. Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. This is love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us and his love is made complete in us. We know that we live in him and he in us because he has given us of his Spirit. And we have seen and testify that the Father has sent his Son to be the Savior of the world. If anyone acknowledges that Jesus is the Son of God, God lives in him and he in God. And so we know and rely on the love God has for us. God is love. Whoever lives in love lives in God and God in him. In this way, love is made complete among us so that we will have confidence on the day of judgment, because in this world we are like him. There is no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear, because fear has to do with punishment. The one who fears is not made perfect in love. We love because he first loved us. If anyone says, "I love God," yet hates his brother, he is a liar. For anyone who does not love his brother whom he has seen cannot love God whom he has not seen. And he has given us this command: whoever loves God must also love his brother. Will you join with me in a prayer of confession as printed in your order of worship? And as we pray, let us do so responsively. Almighty God, in Jesus Christ you love us.
We have not loved you.
You have opened your heart to us.
In our pride, we have spurned your care.
You have given us all things. Have mercy on us, O Lord, for we are ashamed and sorry for all we have done to displease you.
Cleanse us from our sin and receive us again into your household, that we might nevermore stray from your love, but always remain within the sound of your voice. Amen.
An assurance of pardon from Romans 5. But God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Since we have now been justified by his blood, how much more shall we be saved from God's wrath through him?
I want everybody here to know that I'm a small part of the best Sunday school class at College Park. And because I knew some of you would disagree with me, I wanted you to see my Sunday school class. And here they are. I invited my class to come up here with me today to prove my point. We are also one of the luckiest Sunday school classes at College Park. Now, why would I say that? I say it because we have all of you as our mentors. You give us guidance through your actions, through your prayers, and through your support. And speaking of support, we are one of the most fortunate classes at this church because you have given us a newly renovated building in which we can study and learn about Jesus, learn about the Bible, learn how to be disciples that God wants us to be. For that, we are grateful, and we thank you. Will you pray with us, please? Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for all the gifts that you have given us. Thank you for the gift of a wonderful congregation and church staff who have blessed us with a beautiful place to come and worship you. Thank you for the people, young and old, in this church that guide us on the path of discipleship. We are grateful for their support and generosity. Please help us understand that the job of creating disciples for you is never completed, and that whether we are 6 years old or 95, we have gifts to give. Please accept the monetary gifts that we're about to give. Take these gifts as our recognition that you have provided them all for us. Help us to continue to recognize the importance of providing for the education of future generations of disciples. In your name we pray. Amen.
turns just the same old yesterday. You made a promise to yourself that you were never gonna be this way. And the only thing that you've ever known is to run. So you keep on driving faster into the sun. But everybody needs somebody sometimes. Yeah, everybody needs somebody sometimes. You don't have to find your own way out. You've got a voice, let it be heard. Just when it feels you're on a dead end road, there's always somewhere left to turn. So don't give up now, you're so close to a brand new day. And if you just can't bear to be alone, then I'll stay. 'Cause everybody needs somebody sometimes. Yeah, everybody needs somebody sometimes. To see what you've been going through, all that I can say is I'm here now. Everybody needs somebody sometimes, you know they do. Everybody needs somebody sometimes. Everybody needs somebody sometimes.
I think the sooner we acknowledge that we do need each other and that we need a God who created us, the better off we are. It's interesting, this week it was Jeremy and Patrick and Stephen and myself went over to Brookridge, and we were hauling some furniture. June's good to see you with us, and we were helping June and her son kind of clean out some things over there. And as we pulled up at the healthcare entrance there at Brookridge, there's some ladies and gentlemen sitting outside. It was a beautiful evening. They were all sitting there, and we were moving some furniture in. And I heard what one of the ladies said, and I kind of had to smile. And as we went on in, when we came back out, she stopped me to repeat what she had said to the group to tell me what she had told them. And it went something like this. It said, "It is so heartwarming to see a church take care of their own." And I looked at her, I said, "Well, thank you. We try very hard to do that." And she says, you know, my church doesn't do that. And I smiled and said, well, maybe you belong to the wrong church. And I laughed a little bit, but you know, I thought at the time we do try hard. We try hard to take care of our own, and that all comes down to relationships. It comes down to the relationships of us with each other, us with our Father who gives, you know, unconditionally to us, and so we seek to do that. And that's what we've been talking about in this whole Love at Last Sight series. We've been talking about strengthening relationships. The first week, this is your test. The first week we talked about the art of being there, all there. That's right. And again, if you need constant reminders, we have more of the little orange bracelets out at the Information Center. Feel free to take one of those with you. Reminding you to be all there, be fully engaged. Remember the visual of the child pulling, being fully engaged in that relationship. The second week we talked about the art of being intentional, which means if you're going to be in the relationship, be in the relationship. Be intentional about what you do. Look and see what your relationship is with that person. See how you want to improve that relationship, and then have a plan to move forward in a relationship, to build strong relationships. Week three, which was last week, was the art of risking awkwardness. My daughter told me that I said awkward 43 times in a 20-minute sermon last week. That's pretty good. That's twice a minute. So we hammered home on that awkward thing, you know. The art of risking awkwardness. Sometimes relationships are messy. They're a little bit awkward. We have to move past that fear of being a little awkward and just, you know, move forward and help that relationship to grow. Today, we're going to talk about the art of letting go. The art of letting go. What does that mean? Well, I have confession for you. At the beginning of the week, we started with a passage from Exodus, and that's kind of the, when you get these campaigns, you know, Love at Last Sight and 1 month to live and those type of things, they give you kind of suggested outlines for the worship services. At the beginning of the week, I told Mary, here's where I'm going, I think. And by Thursday night, I said, no, I threw all that out earlier today. It does not work for us. It does not speak to where we are. So choir, I don't know if you have a script. Do you have a scripture page? Where is it from? Now you can toss all that out. It's no good anymore. Yeah. I thought they probably had printed those. Sorry, Dennis. But you know, it's not until we got to really Friday, midday, late Friday, yesterday, that I kind of figured out where I think we need to go with this. The art of letting go in relationships. And as I was thinking through this whole idea of letting go in relationships, two passages of scripture just kept running through my mind. Two passages, and I'm going to read them to you, invite you to read with me. The first one is Matthew 28, and you probably don't have to read this one. You could probably recite this one with me. Matthew 28, verses 18 and 20 says, Jesus came and he told his disciples this, I've been given all authority in heaven and on earth. Therefore, go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I've given you. And be sure of this, I am always with you, even until the end of the age. Most of us have heard that passage. And we understand that literally probably the best rendering of that of that phrase is, as you go, as we go, since you're going anyway, as you go through life, make disciples. That's the imperative. Make disciples. But what does that mean? What does that look like in terms of our everyday life? How do we make disciples? Well, I want to give you another passage of scripture that kept running through my mind, and I figured this has got to be part of the picture. And indeed it is. Let me set the scene for you. This comes from John chapter 17. So you can go ahead and be turning to John chapter 17. But listen while you're flipping over in your Bible. John chapter 17, Jesus has met with the disciples. Okay, he knows that his time on earth, we've gone through the triumphal entry into Jerusalem. He's begun to kind of wrap things up with them. And he meets with them in what we call the Last Supper. He meets with them there. And scripture tells us that he demonstrated kind of the ultimate act or the fullness of his love by showing them how to serve one another by washing their feet. So he's done that. He's talked about the Holy Spirit, how he's going to send the Holy Spirit to comfort them, to guide them, to walk beside him, the paraclete, the one to walk beside them and give them strength for the day. And then he begins a series of prayers. And he's praying for himself, his disciples, all believers. And the passage I want us to read this morning is actually the passage where he's praying for his disciples. And it begins in verse 1 of chapter 17 of the book of John, the Gospel of John. After Jesus said this, he looked toward heaven and prayed, "Father, the time has come. Glorify your Son, that your Son may glorify you. For you granted him authority over all people, that he might give eternal life to all those that you've given him. Now this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. I've brought you glory on earth by completing the work that you gave me to do." Underline that phrase, at least mentally. Completing the work that you gave me to do. We'll come back to that. "And now, Father, glorify me with the glory that I had with you before the world began. I have revealed you to those whom you gave me out of the world. They were yours. You gave them to me, and they have obeyed your word. Now they, the disciples, know that everything that you've given me comes from you. For I gave them, the disciples, the words that you gave me, and they, the disciples, accepted them. They knew with certainty that I came from you, and they believed that you sent me. I pray for them. I'm not praying for the world, but for those that you've given me, the disciples, for they are yours. All I have is yours, and all you have is mine. And glory has come to me through them, the disciples. I will remain in the world no longer, but they are still in the world. And I am coming to you, Holy Father. Protect them by the power of your name, the name that you gave me, so that they may be one as we are one. While I was with them, the disciples, I protected them and kept them safe by that name that you gave me. None has been lost except the one doomed to destruction, so that Scripture would be fulfilled. I'm coming to you now, but I say these things while I'm still in the world, so that they may have the full measure of my joy within them. I have given them your word, and the world has hated them, for they are not of the world any more than I am of the world. My prayer is not that you take them out of the world, but that you protect them from the evil one. They are not of the world, even as I am not of it. Sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, I have sent them into the world. For them I sanctify myself, that they too may be truly sanctified." Awesome prayer. This prayer for his disciples caps off 3 years of ministry that embraced methodology that would seem utterly foolish to today's church growth strategists and ministry consultants. You see, Jesus didn't do ministry like we usually advocate. He spent most of his time with a group of ragtag misfits, very diverse group of men that most of us really in ministry professional circles wouldn't take seriously. He taught them how to think as he taught. He taught them how to think as he thought. Think, thunk, thought. He taught them how to love as he loved. He taught them how to see people as he saw people. He taught them how to serve as he served. He taught them how to teach as he taught. So now let's fast forward to this passage, to this prayer from John. Again, Jesus is preparing them. He's preparing them for what is to come. He had comforted them. He had told them again about the Holy Spirit coming to lead them. And then he prays this beautiful prayer. He begins, I've brought you glory on earth, Father, by completing the work that you gave me to do. And then he describes that work. Now notice what he didn't say. He didn't say, Father, the work you completed me to do. How about that time I fed 5,000? Wasn't that awesome? How about that time I walked on the water? How about that time I calmed the storm? That was a good one. How about the time that I healed the leper? How about the time that the guy that hadn't been able to walk, he walked? How about the time where they let the kid down through the roof? And I said, your sins are forgiven. Take up your mat. How about, he didn't do any of that. He didn't talk about his sermons. He didn't say, no, Lord, I've done your work here. I've preached just incredible sermons. How about that one on top of the mountain? That'll take several chapters for him to write that one out. That was something. That was impressive. He didn't do that. That's not what he was talking about. As you read through this prayer, you see that evidently they, the disciples, were the work that the Father had given him. They were his life's work. And as you read this prayer, you can see his affection. Just the pride and the affection that he had and how serious his investment in these men was. Look at verse 6. I have revealed you to those whom you gave me out of the world. Verse 10. All I have is yours and all that you have is mine. And glory has come to me through them. Verse 12, it says, while I was with them, I protected them. And I kept them safe by that name that you gave me. Verse 13, I'm coming to you now, but I say these things while I'm still in the world, so that they may have the full measure of the joy within them. My joy in them. The full measure. Verse 19, for them I sanctify myself, so that they too, may be truly sanctified. Jesus had poured himself out into these men. And that seems to be his entire strategy for promoting his teaching. He stakes everything on his relationship with these men, and he acknowledges in his prayer that one of them was already lost to the cause. So now they're down to 11. He's talking, of course, about Judas. They're down to 11. And after investing 3 years in these men, he essentially says, okay, you guys go and do the same. Go do what you've been watching me do. The mega strategy, if you will, the mega strategy of Jesus is make disciples. Really? That's it? Make disciples. Anybody can do that. Indeed. Exactly. You don't have to have a seminary degree. You don't have to have an exceptional skill set. You don't have to be a persuasive speaker. You don't have to have a lot of charisma. You don't have to have any of those things to make disciples. To pour out yourself, what you know, what you have learned into another, to help them to grow. That's why Jesus commanded all of us, all believers, to do this. Not just those who felt gifted in that area. Not to those who had exclusive training in the area. I don't read that anywhere. Go, make disciples. As you go, make disciples. So Jesus is telling us that people are God's method for winning the world to himself. Wow. People. People who have been radically transformed by Jesus. People who are not sidelined to sit in a chair on Sunday while they watch professionals take care of ministry for them. People who are equipped and challenged on Sundays to participate in ministry every other day of the week. And then come the next week and celebrate the work that has been done. The ministry that has taken place. The discipling that has been happening all week long. People who are fit and free to do precisely what Jesus did and what Jesus told us to do, and that is make disciples. And Jesus reminds us that disciples are not mass produced. Here's the Son of God. He only had 12. One of them didn't turn out real good. Making disciples is not an easy process. You can read the Gospels to figure that out. It's not an easy process. It's messy. It's slow. It's painful at times. And it's all of these things because it is relational. It demands a relationship. Jesus didn't give us an effortless step-by-step process with accompanying DVD for changing the world. Instead, he gave us people. And he told us, live for them, love them, serve them, teach them, lead them. Lead them to follow God and to lead others to lead others to lead others. That process will multiply the gospel to the very ends of the earth. You say, well, Raymond, I thought this sermon this week was supposed to be about the art of letting go. And indeed it is. So maybe there's some things, if we want to make disciples, there's some things that we need to let go of. Maybe we need to let go of church growth strategies and programs and instead focus on people. Amen? Maybe we need to let go of our obsession with everything that is temporary, all the stuff around us, because as I've said before, all we get to take with us is relationships. Period. All we get to take with us is our relationship with God and our relationship with one another. That's it. So why do we spend so much time and energy on stuff that's going to burn? Maybe we need to let go of our pride. And anything that stands between us and resolving broken or damaged relationships. Maybe we need to let go of anything that is distracting us from reaching new people for Christ and discipling them to maturity. And there's an implication in that phrase, because if we're going to disciple them toward maturity, that implies that we, help me choir, are maturing. We need to be growing in God's Word, in relationships. And finally, maybe we need to let go of control. That hurt. Maybe we need to let go of control. Jesus has commanded us to make disciples, and the good news is he gave us the power of the Holy Spirit to do it. We're not in control anyway. We might as well acknowledge that. We're not in control of this process, so we need to acknowledge that right up front and embrace his strength, embrace his courage, embrace his power in order to do as he commanded, and then trust God for the outcome. Invest in your relationship with God. Invest in your relationship with others, and let everything else go. Let's pray and ask for his help. Dear Father, it's tough. It sounds great and easy to say it in a sermon, but it's tough to turn loose of the things that we need to let go of so that you can fully manifest yourself in our lives. The things that we think, the things that we say, the things that we do, to truly let Christ live through us. But that's our prayer this morning. We pray that we would let go of all that keeps us from walking the race that we need to walk. Let go of everything that is a distraction that keeps us from being what you need us to be. God, we love you, and we say that, and I believe we mean it, but sometimes our lives just don't demonstrate it. So we pray for your help. We pray that the Holy Spirit would convict us, lead us, guide us, encourage us, strengthen us, empower us to make disciples. And that starts with our own heart. Father, as you do that in us, as you change us, you transform us not only personally, but as the body of Christ, as a group of believers who are desperately seeking to serve you completely. God, we'll be careful to turn loose of the control and let you guide us. For it's in Jesus' precious name we pray and we ask all of these things. Amen. I want to ask the Bells if they would come. This morning we want to do an invitation just a little bit differently. The Bells are going to come and they are going to be playing I Surrender All. Mary, do you happen to know the hymn number of that in the hymn book? Choir members, help me out here. I Surrender All. Pardon? I Surrender All. 275. While they are playing I Surrender All, here's how we want to do the invitation. I want you just to read the words of I Surrender All. And I want you to make that your prayer this morning. And that means you read it, that you mean it, that you lift it to God with all of your heart. And if you would like to respond in some fashion, whether it's to receive Christ, to have a personal relationship with Him, or to pray that God will help you as you seek to reach out and spread your wings a little bit and begin to make disciples, build those kind of relationships, or perhaps to join this fellowship of believers, any of those things you'd like to talk about, I'll be down here on the side, and I'll be glad to talk with you about that. But the most important thing we do this morning is that we truly surrender all that we have and all that we are to God. And so as they play, would you read the text? Would you stand with me for our benediction? Gracious Father, we know you love us, and you've demonstrated that for us for all of eternity. We pray now that we would demonstrate that to each other, that others would come to know you and would grow in their faith. For it's in Jesus' precious name that we pray. Amen.
This concludes this week's podcast of our worship service. Thank you for joining us. We would love to hear from our listeners. Please send our pastor an email at raymond@collegeparkbaptist.org. That's R-A-M-O-N @collegeparkbaptist.org. Or call us at 1-336-768-5870. May the peace of the Lord be with you in the coming week.